Blog Talk Radio.
I want everything I see. I want to go in every mall, in every state, in every country and buy shit. Whether I can afford it or not, nigga, I want bitches, I want cars, I don't give a fuck. I want it all. That's what the fuck we here for.
Same life is by the dream, nigga. I'm just trying to keep it real, nigga. Same life is by the dream, nigga. I'm just trying to keep it real, nigga. Same life is by the dream, nigga. I'm just trying to keep it real, nigga. Same life is by the dream, nigga.
It's just so many women, it's just so many chains, it's just so many watches, it's just too many things. I want, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's just so many trips, it's just so many bottles, it's just too many whips, it's just too many models. I want.
I'd rather have an M than an empty pocket. If hundreds ain't in them, them jeans ain't mine. That's what I want, motherfucker. I'd never be a bum, motherfucker. You talking about like it ain't about the money? You just sound like a dumb motherfucker. A house on the hill by the lake. All real niggas can relate. You trying to book me for free? But my rent is due on today. A better life is what we after. Cause every dream I gotta capture. I always knew that I would blow up one day like a nuclear reactor.
Money, 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 that's all I want. Big bank, honey. Honey, 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 that's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want.
From the cradle to a label, from the cater to the majors to the paper, no more neighbors. I used to say I never cared about the money till I put food on my mama's table. Followed the trail, could have been in jail. The way that I lived could have been fatal. Must have had an angel. It's funny how I'm always on the screen, but as a teen I never had cable. But now I want it all, the wealth, the ladies, the whips. I took a fantasy and made it exist. No one ever handed us shit. We took what we had and we made it the shit. That's transforming dusty to luxury. Being off in the cut, the cutlery. That's the gist, that's the summary. So if you feel how I'm feeling, then fuck with me. All I want is money.
Money, 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 money. That's all I want. Big bank, honey. Honey, honey, honey. That's all I want.
I'm
my name is PJ, and welcome to our short presentation.
Up in in them projects where them niggas pick your pockets. Santa Claus don't miss them stockings. Liquor spilling, pistols popping, baking soda, y'all are whipping. Ain't no turkey on Thanksgiving. My homeboy just domed a nigga. I just hope the Lord forgive him. Pots with cocaine residue. Every day I'm hustling. What else is a thug to do when you eat cheese from the government? Gotta provide for my daughter and them. Get the fuck up out my way, bitch. Got that drum and I got them bands just like a parade, bitch. Drop that work up in the bushes. Hope them boys don't see my stash. If they do, tell the truth, this the last time you might see my ass. From the gardens where the grass ain't cut, them serpents lurking blood. Bitches selling pussy, niggas selling drugs, but it's all good. Broken promises, still your watch and tell you what time it is. Take your J's and tell you to kick it where a falaka is. In the streets with a heater under my dungarees. Dreams of me getting shaded under a money tree.
Hey, yo, Halle Berry, or Halle Blue. Pick your poison, tell me what you do. Everybody go respect the shooter, but the one in front of the gun lives forever.
The one in front of the gun forever.
And I've been hustling all day, this the way, better way, through canals and alleyways, just to say, money trees is the perfect place to shade, and that's just how I feel.
Just bring my car back, man. I called in for another appointment. I figured you wouldn't be back here on time anyway. Look. I just want to get out the house, man. This man is on one. He's feeling good. And a motherfucker. Shit, I'm trying to get my thing going, too. I'm going to Maryland house. Just bring my car back. Shit, he made it. He's feeling good. Look, listen to him.
You got a big old fat ass, girl. Girl, I want your body. I want your body because of that big old fat ass, girl.
See, he has hell. Shit, he ain't even tripping off them dominoes no more. Just bring the car back.
Did somebody say domino?
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Magnificent deep divers, one love to all of you. I hope you're taking care of yourself. I hope you're getting your butt into nature to meet the cat down the road and I hope you're doing a little samba, baby. I hope you're realizing life isn't all bad. Life is beautiful. It's what you make it. I hope you're coming out into nature and listening to the birds, the bees, the trees, the leaves. Let me send you some good ass energy right now. Take that. Take that. Take that. Breathe with me, deep divers. That's all you need. One more time. Woo! Breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Shout out to all the chosen ones. This will be your greatest test yet. First and foremost, we're living in times of great change. And if you are watching this video, this is your confirmation. You are going to get through this storm with so much wisdom. You are going to get through this storm stronger, healthier, in more balance. So even if you think the world is shit right now, because it seems so, it doesn't have to remain so. Peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we're out here in the heart of nature, baby. Another marvelous day. So check this out, deep divers. Light workers, this is your greatest test yet. Chosen one, the 144,000, this is your greatest test yet. Everything that's happening right now on the planet, global pandemic, civil unrest, two-tier society, all of these things happening in society, people losing jobs, people people being segregated in society based on their medical status. All of this happening all at the same time is happening for a reason. I told you, there are no accidents or coincidences in this universe. Everything is happening for a reason. All of this is a sign. The world is the way it is because this is part of our collective dream. And when you learn how this works, everything changes. Because to remind yourself, you can create a whole new reality. But you also remind yourself that proof, everything is connected. You can say, I want to be free. And you can be free. But you see, if the collective want to remain enslaved, that will also affect you. Because the truth is, we move together. The truth is oneness. And this is why we have to remind ourselves, everything happening in the world right now is a part of our collective dream. We gave permission if the majority rules.
Accountability.
And therefore, the way we start to change this whole dilemma is to remind ourselves what we do matters. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello there? What I do matters. What you do matters. What the cat down the road does matters. And this is your greatest test yet. All of the people who are awakening to their true power, who remind themselves day in, day out, they are spiritual beings having a human experience. You see, the more real you get, the more unreal the world becomes. We're living in a world so fake, the truth actually scares people. And right now, if you are someone who knows that this whole world is a stage, a big illusion, this is your greatest test because the pressure is on. Oh, the pressure is on from friends, from friends, family members.
Pardon the ass, y'all.
Family members saying, hey, get the booster shot. And you're like, actually, I want to just chill in nature with Ralph Swan. The pressure is on when they're saying, hey, if you want to keep your job, you need the booster shot. The pressure is on when if you want to travel somewhere, they won't let you in the country unless you've been double jabbed. That I had a message to share, but also knowing that I had people not believing in who I am. And this may be what's happening to you right now. Perhaps you have a dream, a vision, and people doubt you. They don't believe in you. And it's your greatest test to still follow your heart, even when the world tells you not to. It's your greatest test when all of your family say, I'm going to leave you, unless you get the booster shot, and you still decide to stand in your true authenticity. We're all going to be tested. We're all going to be tested. Even the cat down the road gets tested every single day. But we need this test. We came here for this test. This is it. And it's going to make us, or it's going to break us. Everything that's happening right now in the world is only exposing who we actually are, our true colors. Are we looking a little bit shaky, baby? Or are we facing infinity without flinching? Chosen ones, light workers, this is your greatest test yet, to face infinity without flinching. That's what I'm doing every single day. Also, what am I doing every single day? I am reminding myself I can change the outcome of anything, any situation when I choose love. It's love over fear. It's freedom over slavery. It's nature over lockdown. 7-day vegan challenge. It's a whole bunch of grapes over GMO grapes with no season. What's going on with that? Nobody knows. It's feeling like a victim. That mindset has to disappear. I'm not a victim of what's happening to me. I wrote myself in as the hero of this story, and the hero always wins. The hero is always triumphant. So, chosen ones, this is your greatest test yet. A lot of people are getting tired, wobbly knees and legs, looking a little bit shaky, baby. A lot of people are beginning to fold. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are beginning to switch sides real quick. They're like, you know what, Ralph? There's nothing I can do. I'm just going to plug myself back into the matrix. Many people are feeling defeated. And I want to remind you, deep divers, chosen ones, light workers, way showers, do not give up. Never give up. Even when the pressure comes, say, I'm going to use this pressure and become an alchemist to become a diamond. I became a diamond, deep divers. I welcome the pressure. But the pressure is here. And because of this, this is your greatest test yet. A lot of people are saying, you know what? There's nothing I can do about what's happening. That's the lie you tell yourself every single day. You see, I told myself that same lie, that I was feeling a way about the world years ago, but I'm like, who would want to hear me? Then I started to talk. And some people were like, shut up. But I kept talking. I kept speaking my truth, even if my voice was shaking. And look, here I am, I'm manifesting, raising the frequency, raising the vibration, looking young and healthy because I'm choosing love every single day. I told you, the inorganic ones, their greatest weapon they have against you is your fear. Their greatest fear is that you wake up to your true power. Slow motion this side. Chosen ones, this is your greatest test yet. Continue to awaken to your true power. Continue to turn down their volume and turn up your volume. Continue. Oh, I like that. I said continue to turn down their volume, their media reports, and turn up your volume, which is your intuition. You see, every single day we have that voice inside of us telling us what to do, guiding us to the right place of where we need to be that will help us evolve. All we have to do is listen to our inner voice. Your intuition knows everything. So this is your greatest test yet, chosen one, deep divers. And the way you pass this test is by listening to your intuition, which is your inner GPS, by saying, actually, I'm not crazy. This is my truth. My body, say it with me. My body, my truth, my freedom. This is your greatest test yet. My good friend, we're talking, and he's like, he was in a room full of people, and everyone was just on their smartphone.
It's just a quarter, right? But what if Acorns automatically invested that quarter every time you bought coffee for a month? What about a year?
Before I play the ads again, I want to let you guys know that, you know, it's going to be a lot of distractions as far as them inserting their matrix into every little thing, including the ads. I'm going to do a broadcast on ads because it gets annoying, but, you know, that's what we have to deal with going forward. Today's going to be a great show, y'all. The Boulay, we're going to hop into that series.
And they all know each other, but they're not talking to each other because they're so addicted to all of these devices. Why do they call them devices? They are vices. Slow motion this side. Technology is a beautiful servant, a dangerous master. You see, what's happening right now is that many human beings are becoming disconnected. Many human beings are no longer talking to other human beings. They would rather be on their smartphone staring at a screen. And many people are losing social skills. But this is all part of the great plan to put... This is all part of the great plan to put your ass in the metaverse, which is a dead universe of virtual reality. You will never leave your bedroom. All you have to do is put on these goggles, and you're already there. No thanks, Zuckerberg. I would rather be in nature, because in nature you can really, woo, breathe in that good-ass prana, baby, and be free. I want to remind you, this is the whole grand plan. And chosen ones, this is your greatest test yet. You see, many are called, few are chosen. Slow motion this life. And if you are the only one in your family who gets it, who's awake to the big deception all around you, the big illusion all around you, stay strong. Remind yourself you are not alone in this. You are not alone in this. I am here with you. And we are never alone unless we abandon ourselves. Slow motion this side. Say it again, Ralph. I said we are never alone unless we abandon ourselves. This is your greatest test yet, human beings. Do not abandon yourself. Do not give up right now because we're just about to cross the finish line. I already crossed it. You see, it's when you want to give up that the miracle happens. Say it again. I said it's when you want to give up that the miracle happens. We have to continue to hold our intention collectively and envision the world we want because reality is nothing more than a collection of thoughts. Our thoughts collectively. We have created this. We can't just blame Big Pharma, Bill Gates, the media. We are subscribing to this world collectively. We've agreed to the rules, the regulations. It's what we call the social contract. You signed the social contract, so you can't complain about it because you signed it. So we reverse this by taking back our power, taking back our freedom, taking back our common sense, taking back our sovereignty, by staying human, by refusing to be an android or AI bot, to say, actually, it's beautiful to be human. By not being afraid of other human beings. Because I told you, the inorganic ones want a world without touch, no feeling. That's why everywhere you go is cashless. Because it's all about bringing about the cashless society. They want a world without touch, no feeling. A world without smiles, no meaning. A world without smiles, no meaning. Well, Ralph Smart is going to smile. Don't allow them to take away your smile. This is your greatest test yet. You see, I sometimes look at people's thumbnails, and a lot of people are so miserable. Screwface. I'm always smiling in thumbnails. Because life is good. And because I'm embodying all of these positive emotions, this love frequency, the universe works in my favor every single day. I'm protected. Many people are being controlled by lower emotions, anger. Anger weakens your liver. Grief. That's why there's always bad news. More bad news. More bad news. That weakens. Grief weakens your lungs. You can't breathe. I can't breathe. That's how 2020 started. I can't breathe. Worry weakens your stomach. I'm scared right now. I'm worried about everything. It's weakening your stomach. Fear. Looking a little bit shaky, baby. Weakens your kidneys. Stress weakens your heart and brain. So when you remind yourself, this is the greatest test yet, because you have to rise above these lower emotions of anger, fear, grief, worry, stress. And you have to make sure every single day you are choosing how you want to feel. You have to make sure every single day you are not controlled by other people outside of you who want to control you for their ulterior motives to keep you a prisoner and a slave. You want to say, actually, I'm choosing to be happy. Even if the whole world is in lockdown, I'm going to be free. And the more people adopt this behavior and move into these emotions of their highest self, of euphoria, bliss, harmony, serenity, this is how the new earth gets created. But this is your greatest test yet, because the inorganic ones never take a day off. They never can sleep well until they have a boot stamping on your face. They can't sleep well unless they have made you very afraid. So when you are vibrating in love, that's literally their kryptonite. So remind yourself, love is the greatest weapon we all have. But deep divers, chosen ones, light workers, right now on the planet, we need each other. I told you, countries are going back into lockdown. Netherlands, Austria, it's happening, and it's going to continue to happen with new variants. So you want to remind yourself, we are all we have. Love over fear, but...
Wow.
For fear, but the plan was not for this to end. The plan was for this to keep going on and on until it breaks your spirit, and then you say, hey, I have no power. Here you go. Hold on to your power. Hold on to your peace of mind. Hold on to your freedom, because your freedom is all you have. So this is your greatest test yet, deep divers. Under pressure, you can choose to crack, or you can choose to become a diamond, and then just say, hell, so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Beautiful deep divers, the flamingos. The flamingos are saying hi. I'm just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Shout out to all of you who have been getting the wonderful good ass prana shirts at ralphsmart.com/clothes and spreadshirt.com if you're in America. And if you are a sexy ass model, woo, with a whole lot of heart who wants to be an Infinite Waters model, well, let me know why you have what it takes to be an Infinite Waters model, okay? Add me on Instagram, Deep Divers, at Ralph Smart for more daily inspiration, at Official Ralph Smart, and Facebook at Ralph Smart, at Infinite Waters, and Snapchat at Good Ass Prana, baby. Check out the new book, Deep Divers for More Powerful, Life-Changing Information, just like this. Feel Alive by Ralph Smart on Amazon and at ralphsmart.com/the book. This is all a sign. They tried to bury us, deep divers. They forgot we were seen. Everything you see happening is happening for a reason, to help you wake up. And if you can't see the writing on the wall right now, I don't know what to tell you. Because Babylon is falling. And the 3D, 5D split is happening. And many people you know are going to start judging you because you haven't had the booster shot. And this is why your greatest test yet is at hand. You might work somewhere. Your boss will say, hey, have you had the booster shot? Have you had the QR code on your butt cheek? And you'll be like, no, you're fired. So you better learn how to be self-employed. You better learn how to start your own business. Don't place all of your eggs in one basket. Always have a plan B. My plan B is my plan A. It was always nature to begin with. Oh, I like that. I like that, deep divers. I love all of you. Have a beautiful day. Peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. Stay well. Stay healthy. Peace. You.
All right.
I'm alive, deep divers. You want me to go live on this topic today? Go live. I'm alive, deep divers. Rejoice at the fact that you are a human being that can think and feel, who can display a wide range of emotions. And never allow anybody to silence you or tell you how you think is crazy and unacceptable. That is your truth. Honor your truth. But your greatest test yet is to see if you will crack under the pressure, fold under the pressure, or in the midst of the storm, you remain free and authentically you. Ooh, I like that. I like that, deep divers. Ooh, I'm getting excited right now. Have a beautiful day. Peace.
All right. Shout out to Ralphie. All right.
You so cool.
All right. So, greetings, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Shout out to Sylvia. Shout out to Sylvia. She's our PR lady here at EAR. She's been with us since the revamp in 2019. Shout out to Sylvia. Greetings, guys. Greetings, greetings, greetings. I wanted to come in early to introduce this particular broadcast, okay? And the reason is because it's very, very, very important that we understand that the title and premise of this particular broadcast is entitled Enhancing Awareness Radio Motivational Classroom. I repeat, Motivational Classroom. Why do I say that? Because, guys, every Saturday what we do here is we learn together. We learn together, grow together. We leave our egos at the door, okay? So we're learning and growing. Now, with that being said, guys, today in the classroom is going to be a very important topic, right? We're going to be bringing up the blue lace. Now, this particular topic, guys, this is a touchy one because, you know, it's like there's a lot of information out there, but the real nitty-gritty information about the real truth and the real unlaying the layers, you know what I mean? It gets kind of tricky when it comes to the boule, you know. So we're going to be talking about that today. Let me go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and bring Eternal in, too, and see how he feels about the topic, too. I do want to let you guys know that there is a clip that we want that I'm going to be playing, and it's going to be the clip is going to be an hour long. It's 50 minutes, guys. So it's very important, you know, with the clip because there are many levels to this, okay? So what is the boule? Okay, so again, from my understanding, the boule is a fraternity, right? It's a fraternity. I mean, you got your president, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, you got your Freemasonry. If you don't understand what Freemason is, please go back in our archives, Enhancing Awareness Radio, and pull up the broadcast that we did on Freemasons. So, you know, I mean, in history, you know, if you really think about it, I feel in history, you know, it's nothing but a big-ass fraternity. You know what I'm saying? Skull and bones. You know, that's another side of this. If you study the Bohemian Grove, you know, but the boule, yeah, that's the elite as far as the what we call white people. And see, I don't like to call them white people because this is entities. This is energy. It's all energy. So when we start to look at this stuff as energy, you'll start to see things more clearly, okay? Not about race. Racism, slavery, all of that shit is nothing but pieces on the chessboard, you guys. It's nothing but emotional manipulation to play on your emotional mind strings, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to all the listeners who have, you know, grown with Enhancing Awareness Radio. We have kind of lost some listeners. We kind of lost some people, you know, and the reason I feel is that, you know, at Enhancing Awareness Radio, it's nothing but growth here, okay? Even me, you know, if we either shitting or we're going to get out the pot. So all of that emotional manipulation, going around the bush, you know, everybody else supposed to change, but you not changing your shit, you know, it doesn't imply, that's not going to fly at ear. You know, so throughout the years, we are nothing but about elevation and growth, okay? So with that being said, guys, what is the boule? The boule, I feel, is a black fraternity who are, you know, empowered with these entities, okay? We don't want to say white people. We want to say entities. They all work together at the top, and racism doesn't even exist at the top, you guys. You know, so again, somebody can know some stuff that it may not be true or whatever. Again, this is motivational classroom, okay? So what the information that you receive here, please do not, you know, take it as to be a fact. You know what I'm saying? Just take it to, or truth. Just take it, you know, for your information and do what you will with it. You know what I'm saying? We encourage you to do your own research. Now, I wanted to just say that disclaimer before opening this particular broadcast. Eternal, peace unto you, peace and love unto you. How do you feel about this topic, and what are your disclaimers in researching this particular topic?
Greetings. How are you feeling today, brother?
Greetings. I am feeling determined. I wouldn't want to say determined because I didn't want to get out of bed. I kept hitting snooze, but, you know, what we do here is so powerful. It's about what we do. So, I mean, I'm determined and driven, bro.
That's it. I mean, this is what we came here for, you know what I mean? Like, to get out of what we've been seeing. Like, this is the quarrel that we've been having all our lives. Like, how do we really fix this situation? Because we got children being into the next existence, and they won't ever know unless we start, you know, saying something.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're bringing up this as the topic. It's major because it's happening every day amongst us. Some of us are more aware of it, while some of us are less aware of it. And it's the example of what the Matrix ended up being for a lot of us. The wake-up scene of being an athlete and then realize, you know, you everybody could be an athlete. And then you realize that now what it does it take to, so you can stay in that athlete department. It goes with steps. Some of us get a first position, and then we get apprentice position, and then we basically get into a fellow craft. And then after you get to the fellow craft, you get to, like, basically what that's called, the mason of yourself, the master mason. So basically there's three steps in masonry. A lot of us aren't aware of that. So because we don't go through any of these chambers, we've been walking around without knowing about this so-called elevated square that's been used ever since we should have known it, since the pyramids were created. The Hall of Halls, the Holy of Holies, we look at it as like a judgment hall. However, it was meant for not any non-melanated being to walk in there. And yet all the non-melanated people not only walk in there, they step, they put their feet, their shoes in there, they, you know, take pictures, they took stuff from there. So as far as demoralizing the energy, we had to have what we call wardens. And so now you got junior wardens, senior wardens, and they became also that connection to the mastering of self. So Master Mason, wearing the apron, another connection to Mason building aspect. Now, of course, why are we going through any of these things? Because there was like basically a first degree, a second degree, and a third degree. And in actuality, this is what they call the microcosm of man. Man never knew how to measure himself until he figured out how in degrees of himself. So symbolically, they came up with what we call the Solomon's Key. So the Solomon's Key or Hiram Abiff to become a builder. Now, of course, you hear the rejected stone a lot, and that's where you get the Jesus aspect from. Usually one of us is the black sheep, or it ends up making us become what we call the neat or the goat, and the goat represents going. So a lot of us end up being the going or the scapegoat to the family or the black sheep, and that's what the same as one with the hooves of the feet end up being the hooves that we use for fingers. And that became a symbolic symbol. Now, of course, you are what you eat becomes a symbol of why most people went from honoring to then sacrifice, and sacrifice to then sacrilege. This is why it became offerings. And so now we do a lot of offerings without knowing. We're playing ourselves into came in on four, walked on two, and left out on three. What was that again, brother? Do you know what that is, that riddle?
No. Explain that one.
The riddle is the explanation of how man, because it's man is came in on four as a baby, walked on two, and then was able to walk out on three with wisdom, as in to carry out the tradition of the past along with him as a third leg. We miss a lot in that reference because four plus two is six, and then, of course, six, and now walk on three is nine. So 9 months birth, 9 months gestation, the cat is very symbolic of 8KT, act. And so how we act is a form of action. Your ions and negative ions and positive are what redeforms yourself or re-informs yourself from being deformed in the first place. We are a micro of the intelligence. That's how the ego should not be so overpowering and overbearing that this is why Boulé came into play by the bull. The bull, the Boulé, the Boulin. But it's all from the ball or the bell. So Jubel, Jubal, Jubal. This has been the Jezebel aspect to change and torment the reality of what we all basically are still in, just not knowing what we're facing. Now it's a triad face, like a spade. Used for building, We also use it mental, physical, and spiritual. So when you came out, you was on fours, being a not knowing yourself yet, mentally inclining yourself to physical. So now to that physical, your feet now are attracted to what makes you a spiritual being. However, is it spiritual or is it the mental that attracted you in the first place? So this is why the Trinity always been there for us. We've just been caught into Duat. Now, what I mean by Duat is basically you can look at the Nile River, and the Nile River up and down as far as east and west, they were calling it the waters or Duat or Dua. And so that Dua or D-U, Dua, is still a duality in a lot of us. And so we end up having duals. So we want to end up basically having the east and the west to actually combine. Now, just like Moses, how he went down Mount Sinai and then decided to have a switch up, it was because he went up Mount Sinai first. He didn't just come down Mount Sinai. He had to go up. So just like the Nile River, it was at one point going one way and then now going in another. So this aspect was to be used mentally, physically, and spiritually. So now that when we have people walking around, we'll say, no, you're not connected to the woman. You're connected to man. And so now man must be the one that gave us the mountain to climb and come down the mountain, now have an epiphany types of levels, when intelligence is 90% out of 10% ignorance. This is like light that's above our head. We look at 10% light out of 90% darkness. Mental, physical, and spiritual to your correspondence to thinking. This is why the rainbow is inside the house as much as outside the house. It's in the grass. It's when you shoot the water out, when you see the sun ray hit the water. You have a sun ray inside yourself. Now, the only problem is you don't know how to ring your bell. So this is why there's a boule going in between, only to interface your thoughts. So now that we have an interface, we have like an operator or opera that changed up your dance form to where you was more comedically inclined to be more grounded to the earth, to now disconnected to the earth and stand on your tippy toes and having your arms all pranced up doing certain type of Masonic movements, not knowing that also is the fallen Eastern star. As a people known as lost angels, we're lost angles. That's why the angles is to a point where you see it at its highest point. It becomes the Royal Arch Mason, Master Mason. So the Royal Arch Master Mason is why we end up saying royal in the first place. We want to have the highest, and so that's why we became tyrants at a certain point, and we had this woman who's blindfolded standing on top of us with a sword and her shield. This is the explanation of how they made the woman masculine. And then, of course, like in Timothy 1 and 2 or 2 and 1 or anything of Timothy, they're explaining her not to be speaking nor have any kind of authority over us. Now, that would be like confirmation, the same thing as your mother not having authority over you as the child. So this is why we've been the rejected stone for quite some time. And yet we're looking at how did we be accepted before we got rejected. That's why the exception is still unacceptable on how our lives are still coming out to where we're seeing certain things are still not the way it's supposedly be. Now, of course, to have boule is to be in front of the Masons and in front of the Freemasons. Now, of course, when I say boule, it's more like saying Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde aspect, yet we have an in-between. Now, Dr. Jekyll would be like a mad scientist, so we might as well just call him Vampire, the Vast Empire. And then you got Wolverine, who basically, he knows the symptoms, he just doesn't want to cure himself. So basically, he's the real version of Mr. Hyde in itself. All right, so you got Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, who's basically Wolverine, Wolverine aspect, as well as this vampire. So now what the in-between is the Igor. The Igor end up being this as what we have for our people, the boule, who basically will serve night and day, the Duat, only so that they can get the pleasures of the rainbow at the end of the light, becomes this gold. We call it AU, which is gold as an element. Yet the element that's really powerful that gives this gold any type of form towards this element is Ra. How do you manifest with Ra without Ray? raise your inside as the X would raise vision. This is why we know that there's more to it than, you know, what we see between the eye. The eye is being blindfolded, basically. And since we've been blindfolded, the candidate towards it is basically the Bible. And now when we end up kissing this Bible, we basically kiss our light goodbye, basically. And so just like the aspect of Peter is known as this cat that's basically going to end up robbing. Like they say, rob Peter to pay Paul, rob Peter to pay Paul. You robbing Peter to pay Paul, but Peter is basically the pumpkin eater. Peter is the symbolic connection, just like Paul, as Paul being a bearer, he bearing the truth, as in bearing light. So Peter is a robber too, just as much, just that he's known as the fox being slick with it. And then, of course, if the fox gets stolen by the wolf steals from the fox, then there's nothing that the fox can do. It can't get mad at the wolf, or it can't go tell somebody else that whatever that was stolen from the fox, can they get it back, even though the fox themselves stole. So this is how it's more of, we got to get you to accept yourself as being a naughty being constantly, so that way you can accept your naughtiness. We got to get you to beat your woman up, put your hands on her, tell her she's not supposed to be speaking to you in the appropriate way, and that way we can still keep this, the ongoing how we manslaughter, as in what man does to woman, in a mental from before it even becomes physical and spiritual. That's why this is very important, how to pay attention to all the three principles that comes out. Not just man, not just woman, the child. Who is the child? Are we acting childish when we talk? Are we acting childlike when we talk? And then when we get this childlike or childish, can we manifest higher than the childish or childlike? Now, if it can't manifest, that's what Ray is, or raw. When Ray is inside, raw comes out. That's why it's rare. When it comes out, how rare is it to where you says rare, that like a cat, do you keep it as domestic, or do you give it with nine lives, as in nine lives, as in the ninth degree level, that we say 666 is more like saying 999. So the reversal of it is like to see the three principles of yourself, not just you see your highest point, not just you are right and the other person is wrong. See, when we have a right angle, we also have a left angle. And what I mean by that is putting a protractor in front of you with a half cut, as a protractor is basically seeing a rainbow. And that rainbow, basically in the middle, is its highest point. However, that highest point is equal even on the left and the right side. We just don't see it. We want to see the middle as the highest point. So now we're in reference to fighting back and forth with black and white, red and blue, good and bad, ugly and beautiful. You know, these things that we made debatable, when there's always an in-between to everything. And this is why we have an in-between to everything. Now, the matter is, when we cross the road, like a railroad crossing rail, do we actually know that we're crossing like skull and bones? Do we know that when we're crossing the four-way in an intersection, do we know that we're crossing, like they say, a cross? So this cross that people put on their body is a symbol before it became a sigil. Now that we're using it as a symbol, right, some people are using it more symbolic to make it a sigil. So that's like its highest point again, without knowing its left and its right. And here's this in between. Stories have been told to us how to have a left and right and an in between. However, when it came down to religion, it took away the in between. So now you have to make a decision whether it's left or is it right. Are you Mason or are you Freemason? Now, of course, this changes the delightfulness in how we heard Eastern Star. So now it's like, well, where did Eastern Star come from? And then I just got enlightened by the professor, this so-called the Jennings character, this Pastor Jennings, who I'm going to just call him a professor, at professing out some stuff, not confessing nothing. He's just professing a lot of stuff out, that he says that the Eastern Star only represents the fallen star. So now, out of this brother who's basically out of the same thing that we talking about, Boulay and fraternity, he's actually giving a statement that our women are the fallen ones. Now, I don't know how much you're going to take that as a, like, oh, okay, that's okay, I'm good with that. Or say, wait a minute, I'm not good with that. If you came from an apple and they made apple juice out of you, right, that's the highest energy you come from, that apple. However, that apple also came from a tree. Now, if you don't see the origin to the tree, that apple that you just came out of and came from, you might demoralize or domesticate yourself like these cats that they domesticated when they got them out of the areas that they were in of continent and then made them a wild animal, like a wild cat, a wild lion, yeah, a wild, all these wild things. And this is where they get the word Negro from, Negro. Now, of course, I put that out there. The brother said it in there, it's called K-N-E-E Gross, G-R-O-W-S. See, your knee, you're on your knee, and your knee grows after a while if you know what you're doing. If you don't, then you're also a part of these Negroes that we don't know about. This is where the boule comes in really easy, because this is where you hear the word boule, right? Boule, ball, keep your eye on the ball. And bowl. So the bowl, ball, B-A-A-L. And this is where you get different sects of the secret societies. These different sects of the different societies are basically, these different sects have different levels to it. Like you just said, when we were just saying, like you have a conductor, the one who's in the back of you. And then, of course, you have the senior warden who's basically going to be in the front of you. You're the junior warden. So now you got to basically get to a certain level of your excellency so you could be in a master degree, which is in your sixth degree of yourself. Now, this is why it's important to learn the contractor versus just the protractor. The protractor shows you one thing. The contractor shows another. That's how these things of like how you are plowing, how you working on the earth, it does make a difference. How you use the tic-tac-toe board, how you use the cross, how you basically put the tic-tac-toe board, no, put the cross, no, make it an X sign and putting the dots in each triangle makes it another symbolic symbol. These symbols are a description. It's a key. It's the infallible characters in the Royal Arch, the cipher of lettering alphabets. So they got a second way of them reading, right, a language right in front of us, and we wouldn't even be noticing it. So while we're like walking around and saying, oh, I know a lot of stuff, and you're walking around that railroad track, and it's basically another symbol for it, some kind of Mason symbol, you wouldn't know it. That's why ignorance can blind us if we don't know law, land, air, and water. So it's very, 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 I'm going to say it again, very important not to get caught up by the new Negro, and that was created since 1916. They re-illustrated that same title in 1925, and then you get the Black Mammies, the Sambos, the Uncle Toms, the Pickaninnies, the Zip Coon, the Jim Crows, and you say all you want to do is what, serve humanity? You might be King of Tyre or the Hiram Abiff not knowing it, or the Solomon. There's things that when we say modern Freemason, it's in the foregoing portion of what I got in this book that I'm coming out of, is Secret Societies. It follows with, there's a history of Freemason in the past and various interpretations that have been placed in the rites and ceremonies. The question now arises, what is the role of Freemasonry today? The fundamental error of most writers on this question either is Masonic or anti-Masonic, is to represent all Freemasons that holding a common belief and animated by a common purpose. Thus, one on the hand, there is an order as a whole, and the other, the hand of sweeping the order of Catholic Church as equally false. The truth is that the Freemasonry is a generic sense, is simplified, a system of binding men together for any given purpose, since it is obvious that the allegories and symbols, and the symbols, hold on one second,
the symbols, kind of like the X and the Y of the algebra, can be interpreted in a hundred different manners. Two pillars. Two pillars may be said to represent your strength and stability, or man and woman, or light and darkness, or any other two things we please. The triangle may signify the Trinity, or liberty, equality, and fraternity, or any other triad. To say that any of these symbols have an absolute meaning is absurd. Now, you remember when Jay-Z came out, he had three stripes on his album. That was like one of his older albums before now, recent. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, it was basically three stripes. And I think also, right. And then there's Will Smith. I think he did a movie and he had used the same three stripes. I was like, look at this. They talking and we might not know what they're talking or even having a conversation about. That's why this is important. The allegories of Freemasonry are equally capable of various interpretations. The building of the Temple of Solomon may signify the opposite of its undertaking in Hiram, the victim of Freemasonry, concerning a loss which has befallen humanity and its ultimate recovery. Any body of people working for an object may be said to experience a loss and to aim at its recovery. In the same way, the whole organization of Freemasonry is to build admitting candidates to successive degrees, initiation of binding them to secrecy by fearful oaths is one of them, is one that can be implied for any purpose, social, political, philanthropic, religious, for promoting that which is good or for decimating that which is evil. Now, that's what I was saying about the separation, and I was saying easier for you to accept is like the makeup of a vicarious atonement, you know, the dichotomy. Like, there's a good, and you got to get on this good side, because if you don't, you know, you're going to end up being to this bad side. So it was said, it may be used to defend a throne or to overthrow it. So just like how you got some of us who are Masons and some of us who are Moors that say, don't slander the other Moors. And it might be those Moors that are slandering other Moors. And you'd be like, oh, shoot. All right. To protect religion.
In fact, it is.
or destroy it, to maintain law and order, or to create anarchy. That's why this is very important. Now, there was, as we have seen from the beginning, besides the written charges, an oral tradition in Masonry. After the manner of the Kabbalah, on which the guidance of society depended. Now, when we talk about Kabbalah, we're talking about 10 basic spheres that's been used in our livelihood that we're not all knowing of, and nor do we even want to experience, even though that's what's used in your court. That's what used in what we're talking about just now, the 90 degree. The 90 degree with the 10 degrees missing, the 10 degrees is what's being used as a 10 sphere energy. It's 10 degrees each day you change. So that's why this is important to know about this. The true character of any form of Freemasonry is thus not to be judged only by its printed ritual. So in other words, you're not supposed to be judging each other. We're never supposed to do that. It's about us making initiations, right? And you, yourself, whatever you did, now you're going to end up going through whatever that graduational purpose or degraduating depends on your initiation, all right? But by the oral instructions of the initiates and the interpretations placed on the symbols and rituals. See, now this is where we get the change up. Now, you know, the pentagram was also known as the Pentagon. So this is why we got the Eastern Star, upside down star. So they're showing you got light, you got dark, you got white, you got black. Basically, that's what you're seeing right in front of you. You're seeing how they're using our ignorance. Peace, brother. And so if you know about it, it'd be like this, what it's saying. Naturally, these interpretations vary in different countries and at different periods. Freemasonry is described, all right, brother, in its ritual as a peculiar system of morality. Now, I don't know if you know about Moors. Moors deal with morality. Now, of course, if you're not, you'd be immortal, right? So, like, you live forever, but you're still feeling mortal by morsel things. That's why Moore is you use Moore's code. That's why all these things about, like, the room is more backwards. So when you know romance, that's Rome. Rome, like your phone, roams. This is why it's important to know navigation, right? Because we spoke it in different codes. We didn't have to say the same way, and you think it's just that. We can speak it three different languages, and you still get it out all three different languages. All right, so now, morality. Veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. Code of morality. In studying this history of the order, we shall find the same code was by no means common to all Masonic bodies, nor is it today. Some maintain a very high standard of morals, right? Others appear to possess no standard at all. There's two doctrines of the unity of God and the immortality of the soul constitute, and then there's the philosophy of Freemasonry. But these doctrines are by no means essential to the existence of Freemasonry. The Grand Orient, which renounced both, but it still ranks as Freemasonry. So you got Continental Masonry, you know what I'm saying? You got people that have been doing this since the beginning of 1890s. Now, when we talk about 1890s, we're talking about where they declared something, and that's where there should have, that nothing should happen in France without the hidden action of Freemasonry. And if the Masons choose to reorganize in 10 years, time, no one in France will be able to move outside us. So now if you did something right and the origin of the tree is your originality, when you come out of that origin of the tree and you do something different, the origin of the tree is now no longer the origin of your tree. This is how we know there's been, oh, I got to give it a different name then. Like if I have an old company and y'all bought some stuff from my company, and let's say y'all sued my place, I said, oh, man, I gotta change the name up because if I keep this building, y'all, I ain't gonna be able to sell nothing. So I'm gonna change the name up. I'll act like there's a whole new character of people in there, and y'all gonna come back in my building eventually. So it'll be like it's a new building, but it's the same stuff. You just didn't know it. What in the world? Everybody hit me up right now. And so it becomes a point of how did we pass on these lodges? How do we become a lodge member? How did all that start to become? You know what I mean? And that's where you get these Grand Lodge of England, the Grand Lodge in Switzerland. You got a Mason International Conference in Switzerland that was basically getting lodges in there. You got basically places going all over the place. And they were convened since 1717. So it's like the point of what was going on is there is a liberty and the equality, and then it became a fraternity. Now, when the liberty was taken out, that was basically how you could see all basically your newspapers, the Patriot. That Patriot was like a first example of how we can really change the what they call the old world order to a new world order, and put this on the dollar bill, put it on your dollar as the George Washington, which is supposed to be a feminine energy. He's wearing a wig. You know women wear wigs, not men. That's one thing. Then two, you know it's green. The earth is mainly green. That's earth. So they're using the maternity part of it, but then make it a fraternity or a paternity side to it. Think about the green. You think about the man up there. He's wearing the wig. Then it's the actual Harem Abiff. It's basically the Han Akin, the feminine energy that's sitting there. This rejected stone is like being as if this is George Washington being the rejected builder. And now he wears the apron without us seeing it. And he's like a model to the in the God we trust over the dollar. You see the dollar bill. It says, in God we trust above his head. So now, whether it's in the front or the back, we're knowing what's behind him just as much as so-called what's in front of him. And then if you use this the same way you use the compass and the protractor and the compass and the protractor, or the protractor and contractor, we basically are seeing ourselves being re-emulated on a dollar bill. Your pyramid is up there. Your eagle is up there, even though it's supposed to be a hawk. The stars are up there. The olive branch is up there, which basically symbolize the family, the branches, basically. And you got the olive, the actual berries up there, which is basically symbolizing the colonies of the family. So everything, the arrows are up there. You got the feathers of my eye up there. So it's basically using something of your older text. Since you don't know your way of speaking, mama said, mm-hmm, and ah, that was your mama language. But since you don't know your mama language, I'm going to say that man, manuscript, manuel, manifest, I'm going to say all this man named everything. And now I get to name all these things and say woman in Timothy first one and verse one, 1:2, she ain't supposed to be speaking or authorization. And then they say, when that Bible come out? It came out in the 1600s. Wait a minute now. Where? From where? Is the early 1600s, or was it being translated first? Then it being this language. Then, matter of fact, when it was translated, did it take some versions out? Did King James Version came up with the original version? Was that the original Apple? Or did he already have apple juice before he started adding on anything else he wanted to make it taste like? And this is what we're starting to see. We're starting to see some messed up things here. You can't really say the earth right now, you comfortable in this 10% light, can you? Because there's 90% darkness above this light. And if you are really thinking that way, you might as well start saying you've got some things you need to start rethinking about. It's a new awakening right now. And people have been awoke, actually. They just decided not to, like, wake up just necessarily. You know how you get up, like how you said earlier, it's like, man, I hit the button. I just don't feel like getting up right now.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. Your body's saying, hold on, let me stay here for a minute. Let's just lay here for a second. We're going to get up. Well, that's what's going on right now. The whole body is like saying, wait a minute now. Something ain't completely all the way there. We're going to get it, though, eventually. Like, you can fool some of the people all the time. You fool all the people some of the time. But you just can't fool all the people all the time. That ain't going to work. That's you must be really powerful if you could do something like that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, all of that. All right, so I had the clip pulled up, but it's not anymore. So I'm going to need a few more minutes. But
that's okay, guys, I got you. Because it's the orders. Yeah, remember the orders. They're called the hospitalers. The hospitalers. Uh-huh. If we knew about Felipe Label. Now you just look him up. But he's the one that basically got us into this hospitaler aspect. This is how we got into this Templar energy without knowing about it. Felipe Label. Now, notice we got to use labels, things like that. Do we call ourselves, you know, oh, this is my husband, my house band, my wife, you know. But this is where that bull, the famous bull aspect got changed. For a lot of us, you know, how did the bull become so popular? What was so famous about a bull? And then how did it become two bulls? And now it's a Bible. It's a new version. But it was through the Templars. How do I see temple plating? Well, it had to go through a church. So what else church but St. John's or Jerusalem? You know, make it more official. After I take out the take out the official and make it now more artificial. This Adam that they spoke of, is it Adam or Adam Wesh, which is W-E-I-S-H, Wesh, I've put. Okay, let me just letter it. A-D-A-M-W-E-I-S-H, W-E-I-S-H-A, and then it's V-P-T. This is like one of the first pictures they got for Masons, like Freemason stuff. Who was it that became these, you know, the politicians of the Polycons or the Pelicans concept, but the Polycons, P-A-U-L-I-C-I-A-N-S. But that was in the 17th century. These are the Slavonic people that said, you know what, let's go and change this Igor stuff that they've been doing on us and now pervert their stuff. And since they know us as the one who's necrophilia and necromancy and all of that, we got to make it to a point where we like to look clean and clear cut and cut the hair. So Berber and barber, you heard the word beard, right? The beard represents nobility. This is where you get the knight from. But they took the beard right off the face and they made it bird, B-E-R-D, right? It's also bird, like bird that flies. So B-E-R-D, right? And then change that. Now, what most people go into to have a drink is a bar. They took the D right on off. Now it's a bar, just like bear. All these words been coexisting for us. We just didn't know how we bear truth. And so as the beard, one who is a shepherd, as a shaman, one who learns how to heal. Not just go up to heal, but learn how to heal. That's why it was basically a ritual with Moses going up the mountain, because he was supposed to be learning about healing. Comes back down, and now he says, oh, blasphemy on a lot of things. So it was the solidarity that he was supposed to go to so he could learn humanity. And now the new Muhammadian is basically in the Quran, it's in the Bible, and now a lot of us are doing it, not knowing what that sacred law is, calling it a secret law when it was more sacred than it was anything. This is why we got the Asante Crux. The Asante Crux represents the Ankh. It don't represent the cross. It represents the Ankh. And the Ankh is to Ankh. And if you take the first part of it, it's the feminine aspect, the circle or the oval that gives life. Our head is an oval. So we know we came from the womb. That's like, we got to be a dead ringer to us. However, we ain't going to be thinking of this way because we were taught differently. Our head being round in a circle and certain things like that when certain people came in this world like that, but that's not our head. We don't got no that type of head. We kind of look like how the lemon does when a lemon head being a lemon head, not a cone head being a cone head. It's a little different. So there's like a lot of hidden truth to who we are as we were starting to reveal ourselves. Even you can measure from your fingers, your 1 inch to your 2 inches in your finger. And this is on a regular. Your feet is 1 inch to 2 feet. You basically, when you're 12 feet, your foot can actually fit in a 12-inch box. So the measurement was of man first before it was anything else. Man had to measure himself. So in order for man had to measure himself, he had to learn that from where he came from, his mother. So you can't say you're better than your mama. If anything, you came from the best of your mother. That's how you say it. That's like saying you saw the middle of the energy, right? You went from the beginning of the energy that you knew it as, you're in the middle of the energy, and now you're seeing when it depletes itself. And you got the best of that, not you're better than that. Because, see, once that happens, the ego done got bigger than where it came from. Now, how the heck you got bigger than where you came from? You about either the same size or even smaller than where you came from. That's why Alice had to downsize her ego. And this is what society's doing. They're downsizing the woman right in front of us when they already downsized us with the micro. Man is micro. We get that. And then it said one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. That's a kind of man. It ain't even us. So that's letting us know they're going to demoralize all you men in front of y'all. And now, since we did the Willie Lynch on y'all, let's see how the woman takes it with her being demoralized now all over again. And how do we end up getting her demoralized all over again? Because we did it when they put the Statue of Liberty up, and we had that cistern in our hand, right? And it was supposed to be in a cistern. Instead, it's a fire. It's a torch. It's a lamp. And they say, oh, she's going to have fire, but it's going to be stuck. It's going to be, they're going to have their imagination to think it was moving, even though it was stuck in form. And then it's green, so you're going to think of it like money, like liberty. See, this is why liberty was put there. And liberty is the bell. So why do I need to put the bell in front of you? The bell represents the bag or the bay or the land that you came from. The B, the L that you come from. The Beth El that you come from. The Beth El temple that some of them come from. And out of the templized, they made templized Moors. And now we got templized Moors running around as these boules, and now they're tawny moles. Tawny moles. tiny moves. This is where you get the moo, right? Moo, Eskimo, Tamahu. Basically, all these are coming from these moos. But these moos represented the albinos, the albinians who basically didn't love their connection, didn't love how that man and woman was making their connection into procreation. They had to separate that. So we got to come out so much to separate it, we got to do it in any means necessary. Bestiality. Come on, let's do it on an animal instead of do it to the woman. We can find another way of making a baby. It ain't got to be through her. So man has wanted to outcome himself, but now outcome is the income. See how that works? Jack went up to Jill, went up the hill with Jill, but he came down first because he had that ejaculation going on there. So there's a problem with how did Jack become this ripper or raper without us seeing it. And then, I want to grow up and be a rapper. Are you saying you want to grow up and be a raper? Yeah, that's what you're basically saying. Today's society is showing us how to trap each other. Trap meaning part, P-A-R-T-T-R-A-P. That's why the trap and the part, and we play this music, now we feel like, oh, man, this is a good song. It's a good trap. Now you bring a woman in it, and now she trapped in it. And now y'all at the club, now y'all all trapped in it. And now it's like a whole a motel of roaches doing this the romance in Rome. And they say whatever happens in Rome stays in Rome.
They tell you flat out what it is, trap music.
So all we're doing is really make you sick in music. It's making you sick in music. Until we fix it and use it in its proper form, no longer on your knees as a Negro, getting up and standing on your feet. See, when they had you on your knees, it's supposed to be so you could be bowing down to something. What if you didn't know what you was bowing down? Like those Christmas presents that you're putting under the tree right now. Like the artificial tree that you cut out, or the tree that ain't even cut out. It's just made up in some kind of factory. And now you put that in the corner, the 45 degree that you call a 90 degree in your house, the highest point that now you put in the corner, the darkest side in your corner. As a left to your right and a right to your left, not in the middle, because you damn sure not going to put it in the middle of your house, yet you want everybody to see it and spectate. And, they got the biggest presence in their house. We got to top that. We got to beat the Johnson. We got to beat the Johnson. We got to beat the Johnson. Y'all beating me, that's what you're doing. I want to beat the Jones. I want to be like the Jones. You're competition against each other, looking like fools, putting all these lights on your house, and yet you're getting a bigger phone bill, and Bill is getting paid. Bill is getting paid. See, these are names, Adams, that's been named everything, and you're a part of it now. And they say all you got to do is let go of the bag. All you got to do is walk away from that machine, and the machine will fall. Yet so many of us, I'm in a conscious planet. I went from a conscious planet store to now a herbal market wellness center. We get people in here. I just know that there's more people on this earth. So I know not everybody on this earth done walked through this door yet. And this is brand new.
Yeah.
This ain't even a year old. So I know us saying that, I'm conscious, I'm spiritual, I'm this, I'm that. What are you doing to fix the situation that you've been complaining about for all these times or whatever years that you're here now in existence? You just one of those people that like to keep complaining and don't do nothing about it. Are you one of the people that don't say, I go in the community and fix the community? Or I'm the one that says, I'm the one that complains about the community all the time. You ain't fixing nothing. Sit to the side, write a book. Maybe that'll help a little bit better. Because your mouth running, you're going to be depleted after a while. I'm going to send some energy up the other way since it's not working with you the best way you think you can on the platform. Make a platform out of it. Make a formula out of it. Don't just be informal. Make some forms to this. See, we got all this energy of the God and the Most High's God energy, yet we ain't doing nothing with it. So would that make us the devil? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You being a lazy God. And a lazy God is just as bad as the devil.
With that being said, you guys,
this is where the
bootleg
comes from.
Let's go ahead and go into the clip, you guys, because we have to definitely insert this clip we will have about 30 minutes to talk afterwards. So Let's go ahead and go into the clip again, guys. The clip is 50 minutes long. If you are listening now, you will be cut off at the top of the hour if you're listening online. So the number to call in is area code 929-477-3423. Only press 1 if you want to be a part of the show, if you want to come on, add something, ask a question, something like that. But 929-477-3423 is the number to call probably right now if you still want to listen, because you will be in the midst of listening and get cut off at the top of the hour, okay? Eternal, did you want to add anything before we go into the clip? Outside of that, good stuff.
No, go ahead. I want to see what's going on because I got some other things.
Okay. The clip, all right, is 49 minutes, all right? That was the numerical of the clip, 49-49. So we all know about geometry. I think we should do a broadcast on geometry too. But anyway, guys, the Boule, all right? This is going to be a series. So first level of it is kind of the introduction of what, you know, it is or what it may be. So the fraternity, Sigma Phi. All right, guys, we'll be back after the clip.
This series is dedicated to Brother Steve Coakley. The Mysterious Society of Elite Negroes. Defining this group has evaded us all. Who are they? And what exactly is their purpose? When addressing this group, the most essential element to grasp about identity is understanding the society known as Boule is a predominantly black fraternity, but unlike most fraternities, is non-collegiate. Becoming a member of this fraternity is contingent upon several qualifications. Among the most paramount is excellence of performance in one's field. There are only 5,000 members of Sigma Pi Phi, otherwise known as the Boule. Since the inception of this fraternity in 1904, several dozen of the most well-known so-called black figures of the past century were and are members. It is considered a great honor to to become an archon of the Boule. Members range from W.E.B. Du Bois to Colin Powell, and from Kwaisi Mfume to Martin Luther King. Contrary to the perceived notoriety, the purpose for this group, however, is perversely sinister. The Miseducation of the Negro is more than just a book by Carter G. Woodson. It has been a philosophy of American colonialism unto this day. And an essential part of this philosophy is using quasi-classically educated Negroes as harbingers for the black masses. Carter G. Woodson being a prime example, whom has been labeled by the establishment father of African American history. Woodson obtained his PhD from Harvard in 1912, where only he and W.E.B. Du Bois were the only black men to achieve such at the time. And at the same point, both of these men would become members of the Boule. One would think by reading Carter G. Woodson's somewhat unapologetically black and African-centric writings that he would have been considered radical and controversial to his white contemporaries. But if it weren't for these so-called white contemporaries, the Carter G. Woodson name would have never seen the eyes of the public. Most of his opposition came from black contemporaries who saw his amalgamation of American blacks with African culture as a conflation of history. As the case may be, the narrative states, Carter sought funding in order to continue his endeavors into the establishment of a Negro-centered historical foundation. Inadequate of funding himself, he then turns to the preeminent perpetuators of Negro miseducation for financial backing, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Julius Rosenwald Foundation. These foundations were created by some of the most unscrupulous businessmen in American history, yet these foundations would fund the spurious new black intellectual movement that culminated in the Harlem Renaissance.
Hearing about Harlem and going to Harlem became exciting, new, different, and people went. They went to a place that others would say, you really want to go up there. But in fact, going up there could get you the time of your life. And going into, you also have to remember the early 20s before, during Prohibition, everyone wants to do just the opposite of what the law says. So of course, that again, that's another reason to go to Harlem. Go against the grain. Women, go against the grain socially. Cut your hair, wear the short flappers dresses. Go against societal norms. Harlem was that for white America.
The Julius Rosenwald Fund, for example, literally funded most of the renowned artists, musicians, authors, playwrights, and activists of the late 1920s, and many of the names associated prominently in black American history. People like Claude McKay, Ralph Ellison, Marian Anderson, Julian Bond, W.E.B. Du Bois, Maya Angelou, and Langston Hughes were paid by the Rosenwald Foundation going all the way back to the 1920s. So these black figures were being marketed to the masses by a small group of Jewish men as the leading black scholars in the country. This very same Rosenwald Fund first conducted the degenerate syphilis study in 5 southern states, transpiring as a result of their initial blueprint in the Tuskegee experiments. In addition, the Julius Rosenwald Foundation is responsible for the construction of over 5,000 schools, most of these schools primarily built for southern blacks. Why was Rosenwald so interested in helping black people? Rosenwald himself came from an immigrant family of Jewish merchants. As a young man, he learned the family trade as an apprentice in New York and began making clothes. This led to his partnership with Sears Roebuck, who allowed him to buy shares in the company after they were having financial trouble. The company revived under Rosenwald, and he became wealthy. Rosenwald, while working as a young man, developed a close friendship with Henry Goldman, another second-generation German Jew, who was best known for Goldman Sachs, a prime brokerage investment firm that his father Marcus founded in Bavaria, Germany. Rosenwald had other powerful friends as well, who would all be instrumental in helping him and people like him become the face of simulated social reform. These men would use their millions to champion the new black agenda. When tracing the money to some of the most prominent black organizations of the past, one is left with one very common denominator. This denominator is the deception behind the miseducation of the Negro, a history signed and sealed in an African slavery-connected identity delivered to you by ignorant or compromised Negroes who have been indoctrinated into a false dogmatic historical cover-up. When reading the words of black scholars of the past, there seems to be a romanticized relationship between these authors and their supposed African heritage. In W.E.B. Du Bois' renowned work, The Souls of Black Folk, the reference to Africa was made nearly a dozen times. In each reference, the word Africa or African is inserted into the text to draw comparison by similarity between African and black American culture. And consistently, in each case, Du Bois provides no credible historical background into the analytical significance of his comparison, but rather vague conjecture, leading the reader into biased presuppositions. In page 196, Du Bois makes a definitive statement. The social history of the Negro did not start in America. With just this statement alone, W.E.B. Du Bois threatens the historical credibility of his entire career of works. Understanding the original American was reclassified as African and Negro in the century prior to his birth is a reflection never echoed in his work. Furthermore, the reclassification of a people and lacking in acknowledgement of heritable indigenous rights is verifiable treachery. If Du Bois was a true historian, then he would have developed his own legitimate historical perspective and outline concerning the history of the so-called African American. Instead, his writings are the bougie Zionist propagated social commentaries of an uppity Negro. As someone who had completed an entire database in which he had gathered census information on Southern American plantation owners and slave statistics, Du Bois never dedicated any of his writings toward the indigenous American culture that existed on the continent prior to colonialism and its connection to blacks in America. If anything, Du Bois could have been an instrument of the first American black regional beef. Instead of East versus West Coast rappers, it was Northern versus Southern Negroes. In writings that allude to the Northern Negro as progressive and the Southern Negro as a peon or pauper. His work, however, doesn't come completely without historical legitimacy, but instead narrated from the perspective of an outsider or spectator. In his book, The Souls of Black Folk, on page 48, Du Bois makes quick reference to the mulatto immigrants from the West Indies who immigrated to the North, whom had demanded to be considered freemen on the basis that they would seek assimilation and amalgamation with the nation on terms with other men. One of the families implicated in his text was an ode to his own ancestry. In his own words, the Du Bois family of New Haven sought to be not as slaves and not as Negroes. To be accurate, Du Bois, as the name suggests, was not American or even African for that matter. He claimed African ancestry from his mother's side. But his mother's Burghardt lineage wasn't black. His mother's grandfather was apparently a West African slave, but the Burghardt lineage was definitely Anglo-Dutch. On his father's side was the lineage of French Huguenots. His father Alfred had immigrated from Haiti to New Haven. By many accounts, his father could have been of mixed race origin, as French Huguenots were often known to comprise of a mulatto class. But with this being said, Du Bois had no ancestral roots in America, as did the so-called Negroes, whom had been inhabiting the land long before Eurasian contact. In fact, it wouldn't be until Du Bois was in college did he come face to face with the true plight of the Southern Negro. And accordingly, this was the first time in his life he had identified himself as being black.
David Levering Lewis, W.E.B. Du Bois?
Yes. He always insisted on that pronunciation. He did not like the Gaelic pronunciation, though in his antecedents he was partly French.
Look at this nigga's lips. Look how tight this nigga's lips are. His writing's probably tighter.
As I say decisively, Du Bois,
did you ever meet him?
You know, I say in the acknowledgments that I did, and I realized when, after I finished a lot of research, that it had to be about 1947 when I was standing with my father on a college campus in Ohio. My father and Du Bois were acquaintances, if not friends, and Du Bois apparently approached and asked me what I intended to do with my life, and I was then about 9 years old. I could now tell him. A good part of my life was taken up answering that question by writing the first of this two-volume biography.
Why is this nigga talking like that? He gotta be Boulay.
Who was he?
W.E.B. Du Bois was a man who lived about 95 years, and so his life really spans the 20th century and its issues and its major personalities. He was born in the north in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a small town in the Berkshires, and educated elementary and high school there, and then attended college at Fisk University in Tennessee, and then took a second bachelor's at Harvard, and then went on to obtain the Ph.D. In history from Harvard, the first African-American to be awarded the doctorate. And before he did that, he spent about 2 years at the University of Berlin.
University. Where is this nigga from? I gotta find out where this nigga's from. Look here. It says this nigga is from Arkansas. The Boulay got them niggas on that straight Buckingham, bro.
Taught here and there at the University of Pennsylvania. Wrote a book called The Philadelphia Negro, which is one of the first books of urban sociology in America. And then he went on to Atlanta University, and for 10 years he superintended the really pioneering studies, the Atlanta University studies, which simply took the whole gamut of African-American and Southern life. And then he retired from teaching to the activity of being editor of the NAACP's magazine, The Crisis, from 1910 to 1934. And he was, of course, also a co-founder of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and it was he who insisted that it be colored, not Negro, not African, not black, but colored, because he wanted the association indeed to have a mission and mandate which would address itself to the larger issue of darker peoples everywhere. He was always thinking a bit ahead of the administrators, bureaucrats, and colleagues for whom the immediate and pragmatic was more compelling.
Like, his lips are so tight. Talks like Dan Rather's bastard son.
Both verbally and in prose, he would espouse the position. But then, a few years later, he might well strike up another position, which was not, if in direct contradistinction to the previous position, more than a shade different. And so many of his allies found themselves puzzled as, in his long life, he took a variety of positions that were somewhat paradoxical. Underneath them all, though, was a principled consistency that racism must be combated, that human rights must be affirmed, and that economic justice was the key to the eventual accomplishment of parity and the enhancement of the great majority of the life chances of peoples.
University, he's got to be one of the most bougie niggas I've ever seen in my life. The underlying aspect of the ascension of many of these men was the conflation of the African and black identity. While many of these men were mulattoes passing as white, and even several with non-indigenous American roots, it is a matter of fact, non-American blacks were at the forefront of black Hegelian deception in the early 20th century. As the quasi-leading voices of black America were tokens funded by Zionist Jewish first and second generation immigrants. Du Bois, although American-born, was the offspring of Anglo-Dutch French immigrants. His greatest adversary, Marcus Garvey, was a Jamaican-born immigrant who proposed the idea of American blacks going back to Africa as though the entire black population of America had been a product of the slave trade, as did Du Bois. But nothing could be further from the truth. Du Bois has been proclaimed a Pan-Africanist by modern historians. This he and Garvey shared in philosophy, but their ideologies concerning the methods for black improvement were in conflict. These two men had numerous public spats. Perhaps Du Bois is best known for his contribution in the founding of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. But Du Bois wasn't the sole founder or source of funding for the NAACP. In truth, the NAACP was a predominantly Zionist white organization from its very inception. All of its officers, with the perverse hybrid exception of Du Bois, were either white abolitionists or Jewish. And Du Bois' role was merely as a public relations figurehead with no executive authority. The organization would go on to recruit several other Jewish leaders for pivotal roles within the organization. The NAACP would even recruit funds from Jacob Schiff, a German Jewish financier for the Rothschild family, whom had ironically funded communism and the Bolshevik Revolution. One of Schiff's major contentions with the Bolsheviks was their apparent anti-Semitism. But of course, the leaders of the Bolsheviks themselves were Jews. Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, even Stalin and Karl Marx had changed their names to conceal their Jewish identity and then posed as revolutionaries and anti-Semites before the world, funded by the propaganda machine that has now amalgamated itself into the NAACP. And this transmutation would not become more apparent than when Du Bois proclaims himself a communist. This was a direct result of his dealings with his Jewish contemporaries, who encouraged Du Bois endlessly to present anti-Semitism and racism under the same light. Although Du Bois was supposedly working for the advancement of black people, he was well insulated within the ranks of non-blacks as the face for their coercive pitches to the masses. To describe him as a Marxist would be an understatement. Even after the age of 90, Du Bois was still endorsing communism, such an un-African philosophy for a self-proclaimed Pan-Africanist. Willie found comfort around his fair-skinned counterparts, as he had done for his entire childhood. As many of the men of the Boule had been mulattoes, socially accepted as white, just as the founding members of Sigma Pi Phi, Henry Minton and Algernon B. Jackson. Passing for white was obviously a theme for the inaugural class of Sigma Pi Phi, resembling more of a mayonnaise convention than a society of strong black men. Henry McKee Minton, co-founder, was the son of a mixed-race Union colonel and slumlord, John McKee. McKee, a man who erected housing projects in Philadelphia for blacks migrating north after the Civil War. McKee became wealthy by exploiting black transplants to Philadelphia by exchanging deeds to their lands and property they owned in the South for rent vouchers in his Philadelphia housing project. At the time of his death, John McKee was recognized as the wealthiest colored man in America, with over $4 million and over 4,000 acres of land scattered throughout different states. He only left $50 for each of his children in his will, however, while leaving the majority of his estate and wealth, over $2 million, to the Catholic Church, entrusting Archbishop Patrick John Ryan as the executor of his estate. However, the will was challenged, and as a result, his son Henry McKee Minton received $25,000, which would be just under $800,000 today. Henry, as a young man, attended the prestigious Phillips Exeter Academy boarding school in New Hampshire, whose notable graduates include some of the most influential names in 20th century American history, from Ulysses S. Grant Jr. to Mark Zuckerberg. Minton had spent a significant portion of his entire career passing for white, as did another Sigma Pi Phi founder, Algernon B. Jackson. Another mixed-race man who sported a blonde coif, an ode to his Caucasian mother, who was influential in his education at predominantly white institutions, like the University of Indiana, for which she was a member of the faculty. Jackson went on to prosper as a surgeon, becoming the first so-called black surgeon at Philadelphia Polyclinic Hospital, an exclusively white hospital, and then working as chief surgeon for Mercy Hospital in Philadelphia, where he worked for 20-plus years before taking a position at Howard. He left as hospital superintendent, a position which would be filled by his Boulé brother, Henry McKee Minton. These two men ran in the most privileged circles in black America and sought to bind men of like qualities to an organization and to develop contacts for the improvement of their careers. Together with four other men, they founded the Boulé. In the beginning, Sigma Pi Phi was comprised of mostly physicians. One of these physicians, Robert Abell, was the brother of renowned architect Julian Abell. The Abell brothers were from a prominent black Philadelphia family whose roots lay in the establishment of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which was the first black Episcopal Church in the United States. Although the historical narrative elaborates little on the life and times of Robert, Julian seems to have lived a more noteworthy life. Julian is an architect to some of the most venerated structures of American academia, including the Widener Library on the campus of Harvard, the Philadelphia Central Library, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which includes the steps from the movie Rocky, the Allen Administration Building on the campus of Duke University, as well as Duke University Chapel, and most notably on the campus, Cameron Indoor Stadium. The Abell family were some of the most illustrious blacks in Philadelphia. Eugene Moneyman Henson was another Philadelphia-based physician who joined the ranks of the light-skinned assassins. Additionally, Big Eddie Throat Baby Howard, a master Masonic medicine man in his own right, had already established a practice in Philadelphia by the year 1870. Being the first black graduate from Harvard Medical College, Howard was commissioned by the 12th Infantry of Pennsylvania, ascending to the rank of Surgeon General. To boot, Big Edwin Clarence Joseph Turpin Howard helped found Frederick Douglass Memorial Hospital in Philadelphia in 1895, the first black hospital in the city. Likewise, as he did with Mercy Hospital, along with his other Kool-Aid brethren.
And you say that he was only one of three people in Ghana that had a Zill limousine.
Correct, yes. The Russians had a great admiration for Du Bois. He was quite useful to them. And indeed, more than that, Khrushchev and Du Bois hit it off famously in their several meetings. And so the Russian ambassador was instructed to give Du Bois that behemoth limousine, the Zill. So he had one, the ambassador, of course, and then Nkrumah, the president of Ghana, also.
You say that he got cables when he died, were sent from Mao Zedong, Zhou Enlai, Nikita Khrushchev, and that in attendance was Gus Hall, the American Communist Party. Why did they like him so much, or why did they want to pay homage to him?
Well, his value to the Soviet cause was enormous. Here was the most impressive African-American intellectual, the man who was deemed widely to be the father of Pan-Africanism, the founder of the civil rights movement. And now in the 50s, his politics were such that that the Soviet Union thought it appropriate to bestow upon him the Lenin Peace Prize. And then,
this nigga said Lenin Peace Prize. That's an oxymoron. This nigga killed like a trillion people.
58, that was a time when Paul Robeson's passport was restored and a whole raft of people were once again able to travel. He went to the Soviet Union and was treated like a head of state, virtually, and then to China with the same sort of treatment. And so if the Soviet Union hoped to encourage people within the United States and elsewhere to look upon Marxism, communism, scientific socialism with increasing favor, then Du Bois was useful in that regard.
Another face in this frilly flock of Philadelphia physicians was perhaps the blackest of them all, Little Dick Warwick. The Warwick family, another prominent Negro family in Philadelphia whose roots were also tied to the abolitionist movement and the creation of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. As a result of their relationships and roles in abolitionist reformation, which included the Christianizing of blacks through the Methodist Church, this small Negro contingent out of Philadelphia was considered the Black American aristocracy. After the group's establishment in 1904, the Boulay later expanded into Chicago in 1907 and Baltimore the following year, in 1910 expanding south to Memphis and later into cities like St. Louis, Kansas City, Detroit, and Atlanta. Being considered for selection into Sigma Pi Phi was contingent first upon education and then excellence in one's field. But probably the most important qualification was legacy. For two decades, the Boulay aggressively recruited all of the most prominent black families and professionals across the country for membership, hoping by which they could establish a black hierarchy. Over time, the membership became less of an excellent-based requirement and more of a legacy base, which caused concerns that the standards for membership of inherited status wouldn't retain the quality of its founders, whom were considered by the elite as the most excellent of men. Yet, to be fair, all of the founding members of the Boulay had also inherited legacy status through societies founded prior to the Boulay, such as the Ugly Club in New York and the Free African Society in Philadelphia. The Negroes of the Northeast sought to separate themselves from the so-called lower class Negroes, and the Methodist Church would make over the paupers of the plantation into the princes of the pulpit. Two of these princes of the pew were Richard Allen, founder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and Absalom Jones. Both of these men were born into slavery and Christianized by their Methodist overseers for the purposes of evangelizing slaves. In 1787, these men found the Free African Society, which at its inception was a religious institution which led to the establishment of the first independent black church in America. Richard Allen was born a slave on the plantation of prominent Philadelphia politician and Supreme Court judge Benjamin Chew, who also had been a close personal friend of George Washington. Richard Allen was eventually sold to Stokely Sturgis, a white Methodist abolitionist, and while under the thumb of Sturgis, Richard Allen became a Methodist and began spreading gospel to the enslaved blacks. Eventually, Allen became a preacher at St. George's Episcopal in Philadelphia, a predominantly white church, but his services were restricted to sunrise sermons. This was around the time he and Absalom Jones founded the Free African Society, although he nor Jones were born free or African. At the root of their Christianization was slavery, and at the root of their slavery were men teaching them religion. But what was at the root of the men teaching them religion? Christianity wasn't inherently African, so why were these men amalgamating European philosophy with African identity? Did these men have any credible historical foundation for such claim? Both men, born slaves in Delaware and taught their history and religion by whom? So what expectations should one have for Negroes who were indoctrinated by their oppressors to the point of claiming false identity to justifiably found something considered independent and black? The black bourgeoisie of Philadelphia were a product of abolitionist Christian propaganda whose purpose is to keep the black masses in a state of perpetual confusion and ignorance. What better way than teaching Christianity to house niggas and then having some of those house niggas propagate the black masses with futile race rhetoric from docile dainty Negroes who despise their own people? The mindfuckery is extremely well calculated. Create a class of uppity conformist Negroes and use your resources to champion these individuals as the brightest and best. Another one of the illustrious Philly Negroes was a man by the name of James Fortin, who was actually born free and became one of, if not the most influential of all the Negroes in Philadelphia. James Fortin had served in the Navy as a privateer during the Revolutionary War. He was taken prisoner by the British Royal Navy during his stint, but was later released after being in prison for 9 months. He returned to Philadelphia and apprenticed as a ship sailmaker in a business previously worked by his deceased father, who had died on the job, under business owner Robert Bridges. After the retirement of Bridges, Fortin, who had become a foreman and Bridges' best employee, took a loan and purchased the business in 1798. In 1810, Fortin invented a tool used to maneuver large sails, therefore making them easier to cut and sew. As a result, his business prospered, and soon James Fortin's business made him one of the wealthiest men in Philadelphia, regardless of race. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, many abolitionists and slave masters banded together for a single master plan to solve the black problem in American society. This began the first so-called Back to Africa movement, in which black Americans, some formerly enslaved, would move to West Africa in countries like Liberia and Sierra Leone in order to colonize these lands free of racial discrimination. This idea, proposed by the American Colonization Society, an organization supported by notorious slave owners like Kentucky's Henry Clay, was outright rejected by black Americans, who claimed they had been American and had no African association. Quote, from the problem of slavery in the age of emancipation. Fortin had supported Paul Cuffey, a Boston shipbuilder who in 1815 transported 38 free blacks to Sierra Leone with the idea they could make a better life where not impeded by white racism. He was well aware of continuing problems due to harsh discrimination against blacks in the United States. To address community concerns and discuss potential for colonization, James Fortin worked with Bishop Richard Allen of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the first independent black denomination in the United States, Absalom Jones and James Gulchester, to organize a meeting on this topic in Philadelphia. Their announced meeting in January 1817 at Bethel AME Church drew 3,000 attendees from Philadelphia. Hearing the strong views of this public forced a dramatic turning point for these leaders. By this time, most free blacks and slaves had been born in the United States and claimed it as their own, with their own families. At the meeting, Fortin called for a vote asking who favored colonization. Not one man said yes. When he asked who was against it, the crowd resounded with a no that made the hall ring. All claimed the U.S. as their own and wanted to gain their full civil rights as citizens. After that meeting, Fortin and the ministers strongly opposed the ACS, and Fortin later converted William Lloyd Garrison, a younger white abolitionist from Boston, against the colonization schemes. Following the January meeting, Fortin helped draft a resolution of the sense of the public, which he and other leaders sent to the Pennsylvania congressional delegation. In August, they published a longer address to the inhabitants of the city and county of Philadelphia, which attacked colonization, end quote. Perhaps James Fortin was the most influential black in the entire country, and he adamantly opposed relocating to Africa, as did many of his countrymen. Fortin had not been born a slave and did not inherit his status. He was a self-made man, to the utmost respect of his peers, which he earned by representing them to the opposition of their white so-called friends. Abolitionists and Quakers, along with Methodists, held themselves as the liberators of blacks in America. Among their objectives, concocting a scheme to displace black Americans from their homeland. It must be noted that the black population in America was significant prior to colonialism. The majority of the enslaved population were captured indigenous prisoners of war, whom had their land forcibly taken by pre-colonial European powers. Predominantly the French in Canada and in Middle America, the Spanish in the South and the West, and the British in the East. The Virginia Slave Act imposed the right of Christian authority over anyone captured and held in bondage. Quote, from the Virginia Slave Act, Henning's Statutes at Large, Volume 2, page 491. Jumping ahead to the middle. And whereas also those Indians that are taken in war or otherwise by our neighboring Indians, confederates or tributaries to His Majesty, and this His plantation of Virginia, are slaves to the said neighboring Indians that so take them, and by them are likewise sold to His Majesty's subjects here as slaves, be it therefore enacted by the Governor Council and the burgesses of this General Assembly, and it is enacted by the authority aforesaid that all the said recited act of the 3rd of October 1670 be and is hereby repealed and made utterly void to all intents and purposes whatsoever. And it be further enacted by the authority aforesaid that all servants except Turks and Moors, whilst in amity with His Majesty, which from and after publication of this act shall be brought or imported into this country, either by sea or land, whether Negroes, Moors, Mulattoes, or Indians, who in whose parentage and native country are not Christian at the time of their first purchase of such servant by some Christian, although afterwards and before such their importation and bringing into this country, they shall be converted to the Christian faith, and all Indians, which shall hereafter be sold to our neighboring Indians, or any other trafficking with us as for slaves, are hereby adjudged, deemed, and taken, and shall be adjudged, deemed, and taken to be slaves, to all intents and purposes, any law, usage, or custom to the contrary notwithstanding. End quote. From Henning's Statutes at Large, Volume 2, page 491, 1670, Virginia Slave Act. The first so-called African-American leaders in American history were essentially Christian and Zionist-installed puppets, many of them having immigrant backgrounds. These people were used as instruments to mold the black narrative of American history and even black history in general. Indoctrinated by Christian abolitionists under the guise of anti-slavery, when their true motives were to use these token blacks to propagate Christianity and Pan-Africanism. No less noteworthy are the intellectual black families of the South, similar to the Warwicks who moved north during Reconstruction in hopes to obtain prominence within the northern black aristocracy. Prestigious black landowners and businessmen from the South often enrolled their children in northern elite educational institutions such as Harvard and other Ivy League schools. The completion of their degrees held an unequal quality of comparison and guaranteed their position in the social caste system. The education, or rather indoctrination, disparity between blacks during Reconstruction fostered the Hegelian dispute at the heart of the philosophy for black progressiveness. Two opposing schools of thought were at play. Social liberalism, a philosophy championed by the so-called talented 10th and the Boulay, and self-actualization, a philosophy championed by Booker T. Washington and Marcus Garvey. Each of these men gaining power and influence through their relationships with wealthy white men. This would introduce the three-headed monster of the black Hegelian deception: integration, segregation, or separation. On the next episode of Boulay, we will investigate the philosophies of Marcus Garvey and Booker T. Washington, and their opposition to W.E.B. Du Bois. We will also learn more about the roots of Sigma Pi Phi and their connection to black fraternities and Freemasonry.
Welcome back, y'all. All right, so my grandmother and I, which she's passed on, we all know that death isn't what we think it is, but we want to dedicate that to anybody in the world, you know, who may be struggling, you know what I'm saying, in this time frame, you know, maybe struggling, even when unmasking all of these truths, you know, all of these, I don't want to say truths, but all of these levels, okay? Unmasking the levels, y'all, it can kind of get tricky and your feelings can get kind of hurt, you know? So even this topic about the Boule and studying the Boule, guys, you're going to start to find that a lot of your figures in history were nothing short of pimps, you know? Nothing short of pimps who, you know, pretty much was went along with the agenda, you know, to kind of really narrate a timeline or a time frame, you know, of many stories, you know, whether they're true or not, but it's really to kind of sway, you know, and the root is to sway a people. And I mean, I understand, and we know that that has happened for a time, but we can't stress enough of how time is up, okay? So, guys, the topic of the Boule, I hope that you kind of got an introductory, a good introductory to this, guys. Do your own research. The fraternities, you know, what are these fraternities for real? You know, a lot of parents send their kids off to college, but the kid that comes back, is that even your same child? You know, and also question, is that child or was that child a part of a fraternity? All right, so what goes on, you know what, that could be a broadcast coming up. What is really going on in these fraternities? You know, a lot of unsaid shit that is going to come to the forefront, you know. It will come to the forefront. So it's just a matter of when. You know, so I hope you learned something today in this particular classroom. Again, do your own research. There's not a lot of information on the Boule as far as the real shit. You got to kind of use your intuition because there's a lot of fabricated shit. You know, even if that was fabricated, whatever, you know. But at the end of the day, in the classroom that we're in, okay, this is not a broadcast of facts and trying to prove, you know, none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? This is motivational classroom. And that's here who wants to debate anything that Enhancement Awareness Radio projects. So we don't get that kind of pushback and debate, you know, because I set that tone straight from the dome that we don't do that here. All right? So yeah, I mean, that's all I got. Please join us tomorrow, Sankofa. You're unmuted. If you want to go ahead and add, we got 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to add that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. This is still fresh to our minds because there's certain ways that the time lineage is messed up for us to pay attention to it. We have to go back into the scramble for Africa when Africa was split apart and how the Jernigan map was created, where we thought Africa was a small continent, and how we even thought that there was seven continents spread it out, with Europe being a continent when it meant large water around it. You know, Greenland, how did Greenland actually have an actual continent nomenclature for that moment? You know, these are the mistakes that's being told to our children. These are the purposes to reevaluate what is it that we were taught. Was it ignorance, or was it that we were taught something that our parents just didn't know? And if they didn't know, should we know it better than our parents? When you go into the Belgium, the Holland, France, Germany, England, Spain, Italy, Switzerland, these all people who greeted with much feeling of the dawn of the new era. So if we're knowing that, what do we look back into to find out, you know, centuries of Freemasonry? And if that's the case, do we see recognition of the body of the United States, of the United Grand Lodge of England in 1878? You know, because by the time that it visited here in this area, there was a lodge of at least 150, and lodges of 150 of them. And then, of course, there was the Book of Constitutions. Like, why do we put our hand on the Bible and swear in? Why do we do the oath, the promise, the curse, the vow, the rites, which became vowels? You know, how did our language of the what we call it, the Coptic, from the Demotech that is still used to this day,
that some people call the dead language or the Dead Sea Scroll language, or the cubic form became what some people in Semitic time, when they were calling it the hieroglyphs, the hieratech. How did all of this become something that we're not aware of? This is having to be something that's going on in the Grand Lodge that they call it the secret versus sacred. And then there's these laws. How did the Geneva law come up for a lot of people? And how did we get under these charters that we know nothing of? Who is Madame Blavatsky? You know what I mean? These should be some issues that you should write down yourself. And what I mean by Blavatsky, I mean B-L-A-V-A, B-L-Blavatsky, B-L-A-V-A-T-S-K-Y. Where did she come from? I actually know about Noble Drew Ali. There's some things that us in our past, the Cro-Magnon man, to how we are now, which can be a co-Mason man. How is it that we're into these things and not know about covalent bonds and how the ionic bond is melanin? Where do we get our language from if your mother was the first one to tell you act? How is our action really about the lodges that we have? Is it the Great White Lodge? Are we really looking at the world teachers? Are they kings or messiahs or pharaohs? I mean, because what is a real master when you think about it? Is it yourself? There are things that we as a people, we don't really know too much about, even though we say we want to be social. How are you social? Or is it social without knowing? This is a point where you now have given yourself the oath, a promise, a swear, a curse, or a vow, or vowels that you bow your head down to without even knowing your 90 degree of yourself. You gave yourself birth, yet are you being the earth or are you birth without knowing? Beth being the L, how could you see the teacher in the first place if all you knew was Bay and obey yourself? Who's the God in you if the God is just being good? Isn't God great? It's about time you get great at your God. I say, ooh, respect.